Caught Balancing Magic, Chapter 12, Calyx's Point of View, The Witch's Daughter. Jack's big tavern room acted as a common gathering ground for every male for miles around, drawn here by the man's high-powered, intoxication-guaranteed ale, a few vials of contraband blue, and the three women. Dressed up as poor imitation witches in the cheapest silk coppers could buy, they added to their costume effects, painting their chests in an unappealing sparkling dust, harvested from the same indigenous bug life they served with the ale as food. As far as Calyx knew, Jack's place was the only joint for miles where a woman would lift her skirts for coin and get to keep some of that coin. In other places, they did it whether they wanted to or not, and their protector or handler got the coin, and they didn't have to wear the bug dust, and their clothes were a better quality. With a raw wood interior prone to giving splinters, the bar wasn't much as far as looks went. He'd seen cleaner barns, but the locals who came here didn't mind, stomping in mud and grime as if it were their own parlors. Beaten-down village girls held no interest to Calyx. The bespoke witches under his protection in his own home served him better when he was in a mood, and that mood had not arisen in this latter life. Shadow nightmares had a way of killing off his intentions. Everyone watched him and Annika when they followed Gage out of the room, their attention sliding to each one of them and landing last on him. They dismissed the strange anomaly that was Annika, the girl, out of hand. Wearing her cap again, her shine gone, everyone in the room saw a boy, treated the young woman like a boy. Her heart-shaped face, fine eyebrows, and delicate features were anything but boyish to Calyx. Yet, that was all they saw. The unidentifiable strangeness of the way her own people dismissed Annika added to the mystery of her. The farm crowd watched him nervously, trying to pretend they weren't curious and afraid. After all, the next day, he could be the one tracing them down and taking all their property, and whatever else a broken contract called for. Like Annika, they didn't know who he was working for or where his alliance lay, and Calyx liked it that way. He wasn't so sure he liked they might think he'd been spending time with a young boy in the back room. Calyx knew in his gut that Annika was an adult woman, but he didn't have proof yet, and it rankled. He had lost enough of his self-respect at the altar of grander purpose, and he was tired of it. Meddling with emotional, defiant little girls was not a line he wanted to cross. Gage led him and the girl next to a table where Max sat with Stahl. The previous occupant stood off to the side, glaring, holding big mugs with their plates. Calyx returned the glare of the oldest one, the leader of the group, until his shoulders drooped and he looked at the floor in defeat. Wisely, the man led his people away to crowd themselves in with others at the bar. So much for not drawing notice, at least they only seemed to see him and his men. They treated Annika's presence, as all the others, paying her no more than a single cursory glance, probably wondering what Calyx was doing with her. He sat her down between himself and Max. Immediately, her head snapped to the side, glaring at the other man. "That was fast," she said with marked disgust, scooting away from Max. "Can I sit on the other side? I don't like the smell of my stepsister's leftovers." Gage barked out a surprised laugh, moving his chair between her and Max. "And you thought you could be clever," the gnoll said. Max's need to wallow had outed him. Calyx gave them all a frown. They didn't have time for this. Stahl sat across from him and listened to the exchange, a confused expression puckering his features. The man bore all the signs of a disease city doctors were starting to call absence. Skin clinging to bone as if his body were shrinking in on itself, premature aging into a fragile-looking, wizened codger who needed a knotted willow-wood cane to stand. He bore all the symptoms of a mage who'd been denied mingling with witches. His magic was killing him. It was a horrific way to die. "Let's get this over with." "Sure, Addo, sure. I don't want to be here any more than I need to be," Stahl said, pulling his bulky shoulder bag into his lap. "Do you want to go outside?" "We are here now. Show me what you have." "Sure, Addo, sure, sure, sure. We can check the goods here." Grimy paws sinking into his sack, Stahl searched through its contents, shooting Kallax, Max, and Gage appeasing glances. Kallax frowned. The damage had been done here. The wagging tongues had enough chat-chat about for months. It wasn't as if his ways weren't known. Stahl was the only one exposing himself to this group, not that he didn't have a terrible reputation already. And Kallax didn't care. The man had been bragging for months, trying to drum up some business. He couldn't weasel out now that the business had arrived. Next to him, Annika shifted, her knees bouncing, no doubt thinking up escape routes. The caller didn't give him full access to her thoughts, but her feelings leaked through clearer as the ilium warmed to her. "Still, Mokadalit," she thought at her. Her legs stopped moving, but her shoulders jerked, reacting as his will took hold. She looked straight ahead, refusing to turn toward him. Kallax silenced his chuckle. "Poor girl." He pat her on the thigh, holding her still while he did it. That earned him the scowl he expected. Her legs stopped moving, but her shoulders jerked, reacting as his will took hold. She looked straight ahead, refusing to turn toward him. Kallax silenced his chuckle. "Poor girl." He pat her on the thigh, holding her still while he did it. That earned him the scowl he expected. She was so fun to play with. Although he had no intention of forcibly accosting her, it was nearly impossible not to tickle at her outright rebelliousness. Familiar with accommodating willing witches, Amnica's formidable resistance, even when controlled by an ancient ilium witch-made collar, fascinated him. Wearing his gloves again, with her covered in clothing, he noticed that neither his shine or her allure was reacted to the touch. Stahl found what he was looking for. He brought out three round spheres. Bigger than a duck egg, the round man-made balls were decades old. Kallax recognized the rough, covered, copper-wired surfaces immediately. "Are they stolen?" he asked. "Oh, no, Addo. No, 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 no. Why, of course not. Would Stahl do you like that? They are scavenged. Found them outside of Prydain, I did, in Andok's field. You know the place?" "Hundreds died there," Gage said as his face gone dark. "As a man who'd lost family there, he considered it a sacred burial ground. There were few people, native or gnoll, who hadn't lost somebody they loved during the war. There were few people, native or gnoll, who hadn't lost someone they loved during the war. It might have happened a long time ago, before Gage was born, before its effects were long-lasting. Instead of bringing the balance, the unifiers had created an entire new generation of inequity and strife. Gage wore the story on his face at the mention of the place, and Max echoed it. Annika shrank back in her seat, visibly offended by the sight of the gnoll-made ilium spheres. Out here at the edge of civilization and being the youngest at the table, he wouldn't have thought she'd recognize gnoll power spheres so easily. "I know the place. Are they active? How do I know they contain the ilium? You don't just expect me to trust you, do you, Stahl?" "Just a touch, Addo," Stahl said, pushing a sphere at Kallax. "I know better than that," Kallax told him. "Gnoll created things could be nasty. Attempts to capture, contain, and control the natural through artificial means frequently backfired on anyone who used it. Time added to those stability issues. Kallax had no use for the energy spheres themselves. He wanted what was inside of it, and the safest way to handle ilium was through a witch, but all of his bespoke witches were safely at home." Every muscle locked in a desire to get away With every muscle locked in a desire to get away from the things at the table, Calix knew Annika wasn't ready to join the ranks of one of those helpful witches.
"Open it."
"Addo,
here? Here?"
Max scooted closer to the man, who jumped as if pinched. Calix didn't doubt he had been, by the sharp point of Max's favorite knuckle blade. The unobtrusive but deadly blade slid over his hand, hilt in the palm, point sharpened and to the point. It sank through muscle like butter.
"Of course, sure. Of course, whatever you want, Addo."
Stahl scooped open a ball, twisting his hands over it as if he'd done so many times. He probably had. Pure, powerful ilium, magic in its rawest form. Every mage needed it to live, to breathe, but they couldn't touch it, taste it, commune with it, without a witch. He opened the ball. Silver light lit up Stahl's desperate hunger, turning his deep-set eyes and mouth ghoulish. He tipped the device to show Calix, who could see the beautiful liquid silver dot of infinite energy trapped within the coils of black metal and copper tubing. The ilium spun in its casing. The ilium spun in its casing, alive, lifted toward him, then burst apart into thousands of sparks. On the table, the other two balls cracked open with an ugly snap. Hard casings fell to the ground, and priceless ilium exploded, disappearing in an instant. Reacting, Calix pulled Annika from her chair beside him. At the same time, Max and Gage stood, a chair falling hard to the ground. Only Stahl remained seated, dumbfounded.
"Now I remember how I know you," Stahl said, looking up from the empty spheres to Annika.
"You know nothing," she spat. "You're her daughter." "Sure you are. Sure you are. The witch's daughter."
The man's pointed a bony finger at her, and every curious watcher in the tavern turned to stare at the small young woman who Calix had held by the shoulders. The hair stood up on the back of his neck as he felt the men in the room see what hadn't been there before. Annika tried to shake herself out of Calix's hold, but as small as a kit next to his bolt, she wasn't going anywhere. He let her exert herself briefly before sending a command to settle down. She stopped trying to escape, then faced Stahl.
"Shut your filthy trap hold, you bug-brained spit. You don't know anything, because you don't want me talking about how I know you, do you?"
Frozen by his command, nothing stopped the pure animosity lacing her every word. It was as if she went from an invisible nobody into a terrifying creature of incalculable strength. The power of her magic didn't rise, but it was there in the resonating cold fury of her voice. Max shook himself. Gage took a step back. Calix almost let go of the girl to step away and look at what he held. All the blood drained from Stahl at her words.
"Enough. Out. Bring him."
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Caught, Balancing Magic, written by Isawellen and copyrighted, owned, all that stuff by Isawellen as well. Please do not use, trade, blah, 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 blah. You know the drill. I have just a note. I have cleaned up some of the extra episodes in my feed, and now it is all of the episodes that I've been reading fresh and new, the last updated, rewritten ones, at least up to this chapter, chapter 12. You might have noticed a missing chapter. That is secure and premium content, and I'm thinking of opening up a second channel that would require payment for me to read that type of content. It is not safe for work, and I'm not necessarily comfortable reading it. You will also be able to read all of that not safe for work as a member of the Coffee and Smut Club when I get around to uploading this book again. Thank you so much for joining me.
Maybe you also saw other episodes that you hadn't seen before that were not me reading from this book. I have a huge backlog of episodes that I went through, and I posted some of them, and I'm going to be trying to post more of them, more of that content of engagement, of communication, of storytelling, and interviews, and just fun times that I have had over the years with other people, the last 4 years of doing this with other people. And I was wondering, would you like me to do that again? Would you like an interview, me to be interviewing authors, Omegaverse authors, voice actors? I met an amazing lady, actually, who is connected with a lot of the voice acting community on TikTok. And she has connected to a TikTok show where voice actors read content from authors, and I was thinking of maybe doing something like that here, or at least interviewing her. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. Like, share, review this podcast, because all of that helps it get seen. Even though I am just a mother who stole her son's microphone and plugged the darn thing in, and I really still, after 4 years, have no idea what I'm doing. This is an amateur podcast. Nobody pays me to do this. I do this at this time all by myself, which with all the other stuff I have to do, means I cannot put a lot of time into making this beautiful and professional for you. And I'm kind of sorry about that, but it is what it is, right? It's either do it this way or not do it at all, unless you want to volunteer. So thank you so much for joining me. I got a phone call here, so I'm going to let you go. Have a great day.